As you open your presents today, companies are thinking about how to turn your newest gadget from a passing fad into a perennial favorite. In New York, I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First up, there's news FedEx will be making some deliveries today after bad weather put a kink in the package supply chain. Frustrated customers have taken to the company's Facebook page to complain. Satish Jindal is president of ShipMatrix, which makes software for shipping companies.
These companies' brands are very powerful brands. If you look at consumer surveys that are done, UPS, FedEx rank higher than companies like McDonald's and Coke for many of them. And protecting that is very critical. However, they find themselves having to defend against the errors of retailers who promote something that they shouldn't be promoting and guaranteeing something that is not a guaranteed service.
He says when a retailer guarantees you that two-day shipping, it's not the retailer you're blaming when it doesn't reach you in time. Tis the season for a big bump in consumer electronics sales. Those of you unwrapping phones, smartwatches, and laptops today will understand exactly why. It's also the season for companies to consider what they can do to make sure their newest gadget stays in style. Marketplace's Wes Williams has the story.
Fitness trackers, smartwatches, and drones, they're all relying heavily on the holiday season this year.
In some technology categories, manufacturers are making up about half of their revenue for the year in the holiday season.
Ben Arnold is a consumer technology analyst for the NPD Group, and he says there is a way companies can survive the doldrums of the rest of the year.
You've got to make sure you sustain that interest in the product with messaging throughout the year, making sure that you hit some of the other holiday periods, particularly in the spring.
But that just gets you through 1 year. Staying relevant after that isn't just a marketing problem. Take wearables, for example. Jonathan Melnick is a senior analyst at Lux Research.
About half the people after a year stop using their activity trackers.
And for that problem, he says, having the best working product is what counts the most. I'm Wes Williams for Marketplace.
Almost exactly 1 year ago, Mark Rosekind was confirmed as head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA. He said he'd crack down on automakers and bring a new start to the agency. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has been following his progress from Washington. Nancy, what did Rosekind set out to do as NHTSA administrator?
Well, he wanted to give NHTSA some teeth, and just having him confirmed was helpful. NHTSA hadn't had a permanent administrator for more than a year, and in general, Rosekind wanted to send a message to automakers that they needed to be better about reporting defects and issuing recalls.
This comes in the context of some major recalls over the past few years.
That's right. Chrysler recalled some Jeeps because their gas tanks hang low and pose a safety risk. There have been recalls of vehicles with Takata airbags because the airbags could explode. And then there was the problem with ignition switches on some GM vehicles. GM was fined $35 million for not reporting the problem sooner. And that happened before Rosekind took over.
And in the meantime, could he have added teeth to that?
Well, it would have been difficult, actually, because these types of fines are capped at $35 million. I talked with Carl Tobias about this. He's a professor of law at the University of Richmond. He says Rosekind is pressing for higher fines.
He, I think, has requested that Congress raise that cap so that the agency could impose a much larger cap and in that way send a message to the entire industry that the government will not tolerate violations of these reporting requirements.
So how does the auto industry feel about Rosekind?
They haven't said much publicly, but some auto executives have been quoted anonymously as saying they're afraid he'll overreach. But Tobias told me at least now they'll just be dealing with one person instead of a series of acting administrators.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st.
A major effort is underway in this country to reform the way we sentence men and women who've been convicted of drug-related offenses. Thousands of felons are getting early release, but will there be jobs for them when they get out? Reporter Jacob Lewin found one successful company in Oregon that makes a point of hiring ex-convicts.
Visit the bakery at Dave's Killer Bread outside Portland, and you'll find pumps sucking 2,000 pounds of ingredients into mixing bowls. You'll also find that a third of the company's 300 employees have a criminal past, including plant manager Ronnie Elrod.
We're just so happy to have a job that typically we've got an attitude of gratitude, and we also know that opportunities are going to be hard to come by for us, so we have to take those opportunities that come along, and we really have to make good on them.
And Harvard sociologist Diva Pager says that's true. She's studying the job performance of ex-cons in the military.
Those with serious criminal pasts perform just as well, if not better, than their counterparts with no criminal records. At least with appropriate kinds of screening, individuals with serious criminal records can perform very well in the workplace.
Another of Pager's studies shows that a criminal record seriously reduces the chances of getting a job.
I hired groups of young men to pose as job applicants and sent them all over the city applying for low-wage, low-skill kinds of jobs. And half the time, they reported having a felony conviction. And simply by checking that box, their chances of receiving a callback or job offer were cut in half.
Dave Skiller Bread has hired so many ex-convicts because of Dave. Dave Dahl, that is. After serving 15 years for drug crimes, Dahl returned to his family's bakery and in 2005 created his namesake bread.
It was based on the epiphany that I had in prison, which was that I could turn my own life around. And eventually the feeling was that we could help others to do the same thing.
The company uses its hiring practices as a selling point, with Dahl's picture on every package, even though a judge put him on conditional release after he rammed into some police cars 2 years ago. This year, Dave's Killer Bread was sold to Flowers Foods for $275 million. In Portland, I'm Jacob Lewin for Marketplace.
And yes, you heard that right. Dave's Killer Bread was bought for $275 million. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.